Accession number 11042, reel 3.
Mr. Eric Potten, reel 3. What was life like at La Lovie then? What sort of billets were you in there?
It were in tents. In the old
bell tents.
And underneath the trees, you see, where so that they couldn't see where we were. And you put your pike to the edge, you see, and lay behind, up to your feet, up to the pole. And I woke up one morning and found a big piece of shrapnel in my pike. Had it gone through? So it must have missed me anyhow in that way, you see.
From shelling.
They shelled us quite a lot there. There was a big railway gun used to come up right through the woods at La Lovie.
You don't know its name, do you?
No, it was a German gun, you see. I mean our gun. Oh no, I don't know what gun. It was a naval gun, one of these huge ones. And it used to come up, fire about 3 or 4 shots, and then it used to puff off again. And of course, about 10 minutes afterwards, they got a hail of shells from all around, you see, because the salient was just like that, you see. So, I mean, we couldn't get out of it. So we used to bless that gun, but they got it one day. They got the ammunition one day, and there was a hell of an explosion, I can tell you.
The Germans got the British ammunition.
Yes, one of their shells managed to get the truck with the shells in one day. But we used to go about in the daytime, at night, you know, after duty start, I think, we'd go round and have a walk and that sort of thing.
Now, what would a typical day be like then? What time would you get up? I mean, while you were at La Lovie, what time would you get up, for instance, roughly?
Oh, about, 7, something like that, quarter to six or 7, something like that.
And what was the first thing you'd do?
Well, you'd have a wash and shave, if you shaved, and then breakfast, you see.
What type of breakfast would you get there?
Oh, we've got quite a good breakfast.
Cooked breakfast?
Pretty often, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, they've got field kitchens and everything there, you see. See, it wasn't very far from Popperinge, about 7 or 8 kilometres from Popperinge. And Ypres, of course, was around there. So Menin Gate and that sort of, those places where they were blown to bits, of course, by then.
So you got a cooked breakfast?
Oh, very often, yes.
And then what was the what happened after breakfast?
Well, the different duties.
What sort of
duties? There might be PT to start with. Well, there'd be certain duties, cleaning the guns or something like that. Very often they carry.
So if you had some tanks with you, then you'd be working on the tanks, cleaning, maintenance.
Oh, then maintenance, yes. Anything like that, you see.
Now, if you were the Batman, would you get off that sort of stuff, or would you have to do
it? I'd get off a lot of it. See, I have to look after the officer first, you see.
So it was a good job to have.
A good job to have, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, he's got a good job. So,
That would be all morning, would it? Work cleaning guns. Was this where you do the tracks and things like that as well?
Well, they might do, yes. They might do anything like that. Any maintenance work at all, you see. Well, of course, if the chaps are going up at night, either for to go in action or to go and fetch anything or to take anything up, of course, they'd be off duty then in the daytime for it, you see. Getting ready for night time.
But if you were on duty, you'd be doing this in the morning, and then lunch, dinner.
Oh, yeah.
And what would you get then? What sort of food? Would that be another cooked meal, or...?
Nearly always cooked meal dinner, yes.
What sort of stuff?
That'd be stew, bully beef stew.
What did you think of it?
We got used to it. You get used to anything. I didn't mind bully beef then.
Did you not get tired of it?
Oh, you did get tired of it, but what could you do? Eat it or not.
Was it good enough quality? I mean, was it decent to eat?
Oh, yes, quite good to eat, oh, certainly.
But a bit repetitive?
Yeah, oh, yes. Oh, I can't remember we had a great deal of other things besides mostly stews that are easily made, you see.
Would you get any vegetables?
Yes, sometimes they would, just depend on what they can get.
And after lunch, what would happen then?
Well, you never know. It depended on which officer was on duty or something like that, you know. It might go down to Popper Inch for a bath. For one thing, it could go down in a lorry.
What happened when you went for a bath? Could you take us through that?
Well, you get 20 in a lorry, open lorry. By the time you got to Popper Inch, you were black with dust. There was a great big place there with showers and that, and baths, and we could have a bath. And when you got home again, you were just as bad for the dust again. Terrible. Terrible the way it seemed to be. These roads, you know, used to get dusty. I don't remember the wet part. Whether perhaps we didn't have baths in wet days, I don't know.
And how often would you get a bath?
Oh, might get once a week, might be once in every 2 weeks, something like that. It depends on what was happening, you see.
Now, did you come across the problem of lice at all?
Oh, an awful lot. If you put your jacket down on the floor for about 10 minutes, you could brush them off nearly. You used to spend a lot of your spare time with cigarettes and in the seams.
You mean they came from the floor?
The floor. It's been a battleground out there for hundreds of years. The ground's awful stuff. If you cut yourself, you had to get immediate attention.
Did the lice annoy you a lot? I mean, did they bother you?
Not till night or something like that. I mean, in the daytime, you were too busy. You just...
But in the night, they're a bit worse.
Yes. Well, they're horrible things.
Was it them biting or them crawling about?
They used to bite, I think. They were itching, you see. And if you got them very bad, if you left them, you'd get sore places. That's right.
Did people have trouble with scabies and impetigo and things like that?
Not much, no. I don't think... Not that I know of. Didn't know anything about that.
So, in the afternoon, we were sort of going through the day a bit of a... What would you do if you didn't go for a bath? More duties?
Might be just resting, doing nothing. You never know if they are expecting you to do something later on, you see.
And what would you get for tea? Would you get a tea or...?
Oh, you might get some... plum and apple jam.
What did you think of that?
Well, we got sick of it, of course.
Didn't you get any other flavoured jam?
Bread and butter or margarine or whatever it was. We've got plenty of that, really.
Was it always plum and apple, or would you never get strawberry or anything?
Well, if you're lucky, you might manage to get one pot. The ordinary soldier did not get that.
What, didn't get strawberry?
No, they'd be taken out before he got it.
So strawberry was regarded as a luxury, was it?
Well, it would be, yes, more or less. I don't... It may have had it occasionally like that, you know, but...
It was, to your mind, it was usually plum and apple?
As much as it was. There might be some cheese some night, sometime. Cheese and pickles.
So it's sort of like a bread, a cold...
a cold one, that's right.
And after tea, what would happen then?
Go for a walk if you weren't going on duty, generally, a little bit.
What, round the locality?
Yes. Yes, to take your life in your hand, just hope they didn't shell you apart when you were walking around. They used to do it so methodically, you see. You could almost time them to different times that a certain gun would go.
And you got to know where and when?
You did. You got to know quite a lot, depending on what they were. Yes, so, I met a chap from Brampton when I was there walking around one night in another battalion. He used to be a barber down in Chatswell Road. He's dead now. He died 20 years ago. Used to quite a... See him quite a lot.
Were there any canteens or anything like that for your amusement? Or
not there. No,
too
no.
Much in the firing.
Oh yes. Oh no. Yes,
so there'd be no civilians.
No, you could go down to Popperinge, to Tuckage, if you could get in.
What was that like?
Well, it was like a more like a chapel, so a church. In a way. No services going on, you know. It was a more of a club.
But it had a religious atmosphere.
That's right.
What could you do in there?
Well, a few games and things like that, you see. Didn't go often. I didn't go down very often. It's a good way of walking down that.
You said if you could get in, was it very popular with the troops?
Popular with the troops, where they could get to it, you see. Because, Popperinge was pretty well smashed up then as well.
What about Clayton, Tubby Clayton? Did you ever meet him?
I'm not sure. I think I did, but I don't know.
What makes you think? What happened?
Well, nothing particular. Just most likely seen him sort of thing, that's Tubby Clayton.
So that was about all there was for recreation, as far as you remember. But perhaps Tuckage, but more normally just walking around.
Yes, there wasn't much to do. Well, you couldn't do much. You never knew what was going to happen next, you see.
Would you get letters or parcels from home while you were at Ypres?
I think so, yes. We used to get the mail through pretty well.
Did you write home often?
As much as you could. More often, it was one of those field cards, you know. You weren't allowed to put anything much in. They're very, very keen, especially with the tanks, you see.
So there was more censorship for you as a tank unit, you reckon?
I think it was.
What makes you think that? I mean,
well, a bit later, one of the men. He was an oldish man for the army, really. And he'd been given a job as a sort of a shoemaker, whether he was a shoemaker in ordinary life, I don't know. And he wrote back, I don't know what it was he said, although it was covered up pretty well, he got court-martialed for it. And our camp got strafed directly afterwards, doesn't it? But, well, a few weeks afterwards, by long-range guns, and there were 8 or 9 killed. Early morning, 4 o'clock, we had to clear out for the camp straight away, all the tanks. It was when they started their last push, you see.
We'll be on to that later, but yeah. That's March 1918.
That's right, yeah.
So, you... So you got parcels as well, did you? Or did they not come through?
Oh, we got parcels, yes. I got parcels home with cake in it. But I know in one place the officer said to me, "Have you had any parcels from home lately, Potton?" I said, "Yes, I have." "Have you got any ginger cake in it?" "I'll have a piece if you've got one." That was a Canadian, one of our officers. We had a tank officer allotted to us, you see, later on.
I'll come on to that. So you get parcels. Who sent them? Was it your family?
Oh, yeah, the family, yes.
And what would they put in? You mentioned cakes. What else would be in it?
Cigarettes.
You smoke them?
Cigarettes at all. I smoke.
What else?
Oh, there might be some sweets. Anything that they like to put in, they thought you might want.
When you got the parcels, would they share them out with their friends?
Usually did. That's right.
You smoked. When had you started smoking?
Before I went in the army.
Did you smoke more?
About 17. I used to smoke an awful lot.
Do you think that was because of being in the army? Or?
Oh, yes.
What made you smoke more?
I don't know. Everybody did. We never had a cigarette out of our mouth, hardly. I used to buy a tin of woodbines. You used to get them for 9p. 50 woodbines, an airtight tin. And I used to buy one about every 2 days. Didn't smoke at all. A lot of them were called to attention straight away and you had to throw it down or something like that, you see. Or give somebody else for have one or something like that. No, I used to smoke a terrific lot of cigarettes, but I don't smoke any now. I smoke a pipe.
What do you think it was that made everybody smoke? Have you got any? Did it help you with your nerves?
I think it's something to do. Yes, nerves or something like that. I should imagine so.
It made you feel better.
Oh yes, you always seem to be smoking. First thing, if you woke up in the night, you get a cigarette and smoke. First thing in the morning. See, all the time.
Did you get a cigarette ration as well?
We did get one at one time, yes. But it wasn't much, I don't think. Because anybody that didn't smoke used to make some money out of it. So somebody did smoke. But there weren't many that didn't smoke. Well, I couldn't make out.
Just some general questions, really. What sort of latrine provision did they have at a camp like this?
Oh, just dig a hole, dig a trench, put a canvas round it, you know.
And that was used by everyone?
Yes. Most likely get a pole put across like that, something like that. Oh, they were very keen on that. That was one of the first things they did when they got to a camp. Anywhere they went to camp.
So they had this at La Volley?
Oh, yes.
And what about rats? Were they a problem in that area?
No, they never bothered us at all. They'd be more of the trenches, you see.
What about the ordinary cold and wet conditions? Well, it was summer then, really, but moving on to the wet conditions more. Did that affect life much where you were at La Volley?
Not particularly, no. Well, it's not as nice in the wet as in the dry, of course. Things had to be covered up and all that sort of thing. And of course, we had to deal with the mud. There was terrible mud at Ypres, awful place for that.
Now, had the what they call the Third Battle of Ypres, or Passchendaele, had that begun when you were there?
We didn't go into that at all. Didn't know anything about it at the time.
But was that what your unit was doing, or was that this before then? Because that was
it was just after, I should imagine, after Passchendaele, or just about the same time.
And that's when you were behind the line at La Volley.
La Lovie.
Mm-hmm. How were you getting on with your fellow crew members and, you know, just generally?
Oh, we got on well. We got on well. You couldn't go very far wrong with seven of you in together, could you?
Were all seven of your friends then?
Oh, yes, more or less.
And what about your tank officer, you know, the officer for
Yes, they were quite good, yes.
Well, do you remember your officer's name from that period?
No, that's the trouble, I can't remember.
Was he one of the team, or was he very much the officer of the team?
He used to have to go in with them, you see. He was sitting in the front with the driver, who was usually an uncommissioned officer. So it behoved him to be a bit nice, actually.
So did they stand on their dignity?
No, they were pretty good. Pretty good, yes. We had some quite good officers. Because a lot of them came from the cavalry later.
What do you think made a good officer, a good tank officer? I mean, we'll be coming to them in action later.
Well, he should know what he's going to do to start with. He's the only one that does know where to go. He and the NCO, and they should work together. And do what they did at Cambrai.
Well, we're nearly on that now.
Yeah.
And what about the NCOs generally? What were they like?
Oh, mostly very good. You have one or two that thought themselves something, of course, but they were all pretty good. Yeah, you couldn't say anything about them. I mean, it's the army, isn't it? You can't expect them to be soft. Exactly.
About how long, then, in all, were you at La Voli?
See, you went in November the 20th.
That was at Cambrai?
Yeah.
So you were...
It's September now. About 3 months, I should say.
About 12 weeks, then, didn't
you? Yes, I should say so, yeah.
And you came out... A couple of weeks before Cambrai, did you?
We came out, yes, to be more than a couple of weeks, perhaps.
And where did you go when you came out of the line? You came away from La Voli.
I think we came back to Oshi. I'm not sure.
To the Tankerdrome?
Yes, I think that's where we came back to. Because we never know, we used to draw back to certain places at times, and I can't just remember the place that it went to.
So that would be either late October or early November 1917, you're not quite sure which.
I would be late October, I should say, more October than November.
Now, what did the men who'd been in the lot, who'd actually been up the fighting crew, did they say anything about what had happened to them at Ypres? I mean, did they tell you what it was like?
No, not particularly, no. They never used to say much.
While you were at Oshi...
See, we all got into it pretty well. We got shelled going up to them and they got shelled going in. And
Now, while you were at Oshi, what were you doing there?
Just on the tanker drone, mostly, you see.
Practising?
Yes.
Was anything new being taught to you, ready for Cambrai?
Not really, no. No.
Were you aware at all about the plans?
We didn't know anything about Cambrai then. We didn't know anything about Cambrai.
So you, as far
it
as...
It was an absolute secret.
As far as you were concerned, you'd just come out of the line and you were doing a bit of training at the Tankerdrome.
That's right.
And there was nothing
we
new.
We knew more about Cambrai afterwards than we did before. It was... Very hush-hush, you see. They didn't even lay down, barrage.
Right, well, let's
before
go...
Before we went in, only just as they went in.
We'll start the operation then, so to speak. What was the first thing that happened to you? You were at Oshi, then what happened?
Well, we moved up by train...
The tranks went on the train, did they?
Yes, up to a bridgehead.
How did they get the tranks aboard the train? What was the procedure? Because it's not that easy, is it?
There were flat trucks, you see, flat trucks. And there would be about, a dozen flat trucks on a train. And you used to start at the end and drive right along to number one, and then round to two. And there's only about that much each side of the track.
About two or three inches.
And then, of course, they...
So they went on at the back of the train
yeah.
and drove right away up.
That's right, and they go out,
on the truck, on the
trucks. The trucks had to be jacked up, you see, at the end.
Must have been a difficult job.
It wasn't very easy, I can tell you.
Did you actually try it once? I mean, driving, or...?
I never drove on there, no. I was inside, gone with them, you know, but not... Never drove one. I never drove one on there.
So that's how they... And presumably the reverse, when they got off, the last on was first off.
That's right. That's it.
So you went to the railhead.
They got to the railhead and they detrained. And then we moved up to Goosey Corps. That had been a village. And there were houses there... No walls, no roof. Some got walls and some hadn't got roofs, that sort of thing. And we drove right into the houses, right inside.
Why was that? Could you just explain it?
Camouflage. We drove straight into the houses and then they put huge camouflage sheets over. We were painted like bricks.
What the sheets were?
Yeah. They looked, in the distance, they looked like bricks, you see.
Now, the tanks didn't have any, they were just, what colour were they?
Oh, they were greyish.
So they had no camouflage at all?
No, not proper camouflage at all.
When you drove into the houses, would they collapse around you?
Most likely, yes. Quite likely.
How did you get out? I mean, I know it's a silly question, but it's a sort of detail.
Oh, they get out somehow. There's two or three ways of getting out of a tank, you know.
So one of them would be free?
Yes, they might only just the driver drive in, and then he'd be the only one to get out, of course. For the time being, still he shifted.
Who would put these sheets over? Whose job was that?
Anybody, any of the crew.
So yeah. You carried them with you?
Yes, they put them on the back, that's right.
Now, you say camouflage. Was this camouflage from land, or were you particularly worried about... Airplanes?
Anything. Mostly spotter planes. So that nobody, because a spotter plane came over, it could see what was happening, you see. Well, they couldn't see those. When we're all properly camouflaged, no work was done on the tanks in the daytime. And at night, everything was done, you see.
Now, how many tanks were there in? How many were there in your company, B Company?
No. Anywhere between 8 and 12, I think, tanks.
And how many companies in a battalion?
Four, I think it was. A, B, C, D.
And so how many of this, of your force, would be in Goosey Court, hidden? Just your company?
Our company.
And where would the other companies be?
They were all along the line, you see, ready. See, we're going to make a start here and go right up through here like that. The two outside companies were dealing with the sides as well as... and we were going right up the centre, you see. We got right up to Goosey Corps.